Okay, we're going to be sharing a little bit from the Word of God today. We have warm days in Israel now. Not like in Spain and France, but we still have warm days. We thank God that we have this air conditioning possibilities today. The sun rays are sharp, but we have the Lord with us. Many people are experiencing different things. For some reason, I don't know why, but in this month of Av, I'm not superstitious, but in the month of Av, many people have had great, great trials. Mm-hmm. We all have had our own trials. But we want to look to the Lord today as our Redeemer, as our life giver, as our Savior. So Lord, thank you that you are the God of Israel and you are also called God of all the earth because you are the redeeming God, the Redeemer God. We thank you that you revealed yourself in the Word, in the Messiah, and also in the body of the Messiah. And we want to have our lives in accordance with your Word, with your love, with your nature, your life and your nature, your character, in the name of Yeshua. Amen, amen, amen. Yes. In Psalm 115, the psalmist begins like this. This psalm has no title and it doesn't say who wrote it. There are many psalms we don't know who wrote them, or we see how wonderful fellowship they had with God. And it starts like this: not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Actually, the word mercy is hesed, which is grace and truth. For the sake of your grace and truth. Those two words are grace and truth. Some of the favorite expressions of Apostle Yohanan or John: grace and truth, the Torah, the law, the teaching, the five books of Moses and so on, came by Moses. The law, Torah, came by Moses. Yes, was given by Moses. Given by Moses. But grace and truth came personally through Yeshua the Messiah in chapter 1 of John. So, is it the same thing what is in this verse? I do believe that's where the maximum glory of God came this way, for your grace and for your truth's sake. Mercy is fine translation, mercy and truth, but it's really the same expression. Hesed, what I meant, grace and truth that came by Yeshua. Once I collected all the expressions in the Bible where these two words appear together, it's an awesome study, an awesome meditation. So, already in the time of the Psalms, in the time before redemption was completed, in the time of the Tanakh, or Old Testament as people call it, these things were already revealed in the beginning stages, that you had people that really loved the Word, and Psalm 119 is the most, Psalm 119 is so fervent, how I love you, Torah, in the West people say Torah, that way, Torah, it's hard for me to remember that, because we say Torah in Israel. But anyway, there's the lovers of the law of God. Lovers of the law of God, they did live by grace. They depended on the grace of God. But it was not exactly the same. And how do we know that? Now, anyone who reads Psalm 119, Mizmor, Psalm 119, can see how deep love this writer has for the Word of God. And he has a longing, a certain longing, it's repeated many times in this psalm, quicken me according to thy word, or according to what be as your word. In other words, your word is alive. Make me alive as your word is alive. Let your word touch me. So, it's a little bit of a mystery to me, and I don't fully trust the theologists that package it like black and white to know how people experienced it that time. They experienced something about it. It was real to them, but it's not in the total fullness. Like you can see a lot in the moonlight. You can see the walk. It is the bright moon. It has been bright moons lately here. But in the sunlight, you see a whole lot better. You got a different experience. And so, how to compare that with new covenant believers? I claim I do not know fully how they experienced it. But they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Yes, they were. Did they know that there will be a perfect redemption? Yes, they did. Some people say, no, they didn't know. I don't want to get excited, but yes, they did. What did Job say? Wasn't it chapter 19? Oh, what was the chapter? I know my Redeemer lives. First thing, he believed in redemption. It's even written in the stars. It's not astrology, it's astronomy. And then, after worms eat my body, he will stand the last. Well, how did it go? I'll see my Redeemer. Yeah, he will stand on the earth last. He's the last one. He'll stand on the earth and I will see. With my eyes, I'll see my Redeemer. What's that? Resurrection. He believed in a Redeemer. He believed in a resurrection. Many things were not clear to him because they were still in the waiting room, but they believed. No one can tell me that the psalmists knew less than Job. I don't believe that personally. Whatever. Okay. So we don't know exactly how they experienced this, but we can touch it here in the psalms. But then, how does it compare, let's say, like after redemption, someone like Shaul, Paul, full of light, when he comes and he writes his great chapter, Romans 8. Now let's compare the Psalm 119, the last verse, last two verses, Psalm 119, verses 175 and 176. Let's start from 174. I have longed for thy salvation. Yeah, I'm longing. I've been longing for your salvation, O Lord. And thy law is my delight. Your word, revealed word, the complete Torah, which is not only in five books of Moses, it's also in prophets and Psalms and all this. That's my delight. I have full delight in your word. And then his next request was, let my soul live. I need life to my soul. It's like this world is so alive, it's amazing. But I let my soul live. If he was full of life in his experience, he would say so. But he says, let my soul live. It's a request. Longing for this that we are brought into this life. And it shall let my soul live and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I do believe they were touching it in their hearts, but the fullness was still in the waiting room. 176. Watch the last verse of this magnificent psalm. I have friends who have memorized it by heart. Sometimes I was trying to do it, but I can't remember it now. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. What is this? This is complete honesty. There's somebody who is really honest with God and with himself. And after saying so many times, I love you, Lord, I love your Torah, I love your writings, I love your principles, I love your precepts, that we live and examine these things and keep these things and live in this life. This is wonderful. But the last verse is, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. He realizes his shortness. Seek thy servant. I'm the sheep. Seek me. Where is that revealed fully? Aha, the shepherd. Well, John 10. And the great shepherd looking for the one lost sheep. He's already putting himself into these parables, into this parable before Yeshua told it. I'm like a lost sheep. I'm lost from the flock. Seek thy servant. You need to seek me. In other words, I can't even know the way. This is too wonderful for me. For I do not forget thy commandments. I hide in my heart. I don't forget. But you need to seek me. Okay, that's the end of this magnificent chapter. Romans 8. There's another servant of God who is serving under another time zone, under another dispensation. He used to be zealous for keeping of the principles of the Torah. He thought that Yeshua taught wrong. He thought he was not the true Messiah until the lights came out. So I want to read these few verses, how that sounds different than the ending in Psalm 119. No, we can't read the whole chapter. Let me start from verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. He's not talking about how perfect I am or how imperfect I am. He's simply not looking at himself. He's not even looking at his experience. He's just saying the one great thing, that there's no one who can condemn me or anyone who is God's child. We're past condemnation. Like Yeshua said in John 5, let's read that verse, John 5, 24. This is an amazing verse. And then we go back to the main thought. John 5, 24. Amen, amen, I say unto you. I love these double amens. They, no human teacher teaches like that. Amen, amen, I say to you. He that hears my word, he that heareth my word, doesn't say he that listens to my word, he doesn't say he that practices my word, he says he that hears, because people that are spiritually unable to hear, they simply don't hear the message. They hear the words, but they don't hear it. They hear it's like, yeah, this is, I've heard it before, like God loves, he made a redemption and all that. Well, that's beautiful, but let's be realistic. We have to we have to take the responsibility of pay for our own sins. That's what they say. They don't hear it. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. And with that everlasting life comes something else. And shall not come into condemnation, but is changed from death unto life. Now, regular English Bibles is fast. Aramaic says he has changed from death to life because there's been a change. There's been a change, you know, there's been a change. So the one man who really, I don't know if there's anyone who has experienced more radical change than Paul. He experienced, he did not hear this. He did not see this until on the road to Damascus. Actually, let me go back a little bit in history. Right before the corona years, maybe 2018 or 17, 18 or 19, there was a movie film made about Apostle Paul. And you know where it was screened, where it was shown? The first place it was shown was in Damascus, where President Assad was one of the viewers. And they said, Assad said, this is our history. This man, Paul, who was a terrorist, I think he called him a terrorist, he was changed. Let us take example from him. We can also have Paul experience. Maybe we can. He was saying like this, but this is our history. And then it was so amazing. It was unbelievable when it came, the movie came to that point. He was traveling to kill the people. And then when the light came on him and he was changed and he prayed, and he came a changed man. When that light came on him and he was changed, people rose up and clapped. I'm asking, and where did that happen? In Damascus, Syria, before these great wars. And it was shown in Damascus. Now, wars are hard. They're tough. But God has a way to get the gospel to people. He got it there. In 1982, I want to just speak hope to anybody. This powerful word gets through. Gets through. 1982 happened the war. There were terrorists, so I don't know how to call these people. They wanted to come and invade northern Israel. Very violent people. And they stuck a lot of weapons in Golan Heights. I'm not saying in any way that all the Syrians and Lebanese are like capital. Many are in these groupings. Too many people. Okay, so before the 1982 war started, right before that, Arthur Blessed was walking with his big cross beam on his shoulder, where he traveled everywhere, and God let him go to northern Israel, the Golan Heights. And that time when he happened there, all the army units were gathered in one place. I don't remember how many. It was huge, 10,000. I don't remember the exact number. And they were all gathered in one place. And Arthur comes as a pilgrim with his crossbeam on his shoulder. And the military leader looked at him like, this is some kind of a man of peace or something, some kind of a peace pilgrim. Let him speak to the troops. They need encouragement in this difficult hour. And Arthur spoke, but he knew that he's not supposed to, you know, like start with the raw message. So he took his sample on his shoulder and waved to everybody and said, I guess he said, I'm Arthur. Anybody have any questions? That's it. when he said, anybody have any questions? They said, why do you carry that cross on your shoulder around the world? Thank you for asking. Now he's got the floor. You see, how amazing. And he was able to talk about the love of God to the Israeli troops. This is a true story. It's documented. He was able to give them hope, and the kind of hope that we just read in John. Okay, so Paul got that hope. He was changed. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us up all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all these things? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of the Messiah? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So he's saying our experiences that are difficult are not going away. There's difficult experiences. People get killed, or we're counted like sheep, actually. He's not saying it's all happy day, but there's something greater than the happy days for our comfort. There's something greater. It's this. Verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors in Him, through Him, in Him that loved us. I'm persuaded that neither death. Now, death is one of the hardest things to face. Fear of death has kept a lot of people in bondage. Like Hebrews 2 says, Israel has faced a lot of death. Many Arabic neighbors have faced a lot of death. War brings death. Ukraine needs a lot of prayer. The situation with the Russian-Ukrainian war. Neither death, even if we had to face death in our face, or life, challenges of life. Sometimes life is harder, going through hard things day by day. Sometimes it's harder than just simply having over. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Not good angels, but not even evil angels. And guess what? The devil himself is included in these angels, nor things present. That means anything that is there right now. Not even the harms that can come with AI or singularity or any of these things. Singularities when AI catches up with man and knows more than man and begins to take control. There's a lot of talk about that. None of these things, not health things or terrible things in the climate and unhealthy things in the foods, which are bad. None of these things, no things to come, not even anything tomorrow. Does that also include the difficult things in the book of Revelation for those that need this message? Yes. Nor height. In the heights of heavens, there's all kinds of things, all kinds of spirit warfare, nor death, even the death of Sheol or hell in itself. Nor any other creature, created thing. I love him when he says any other creature. Why? Because God is a creator. All these other things are created. Doesn't matter how strong even the devil is. The devil is created being, not created to be evil, but evil by choice. But not even any of these wicked powers even in certain governments, they're all created. None of them, no created thing, no creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Yeshua the Messiah our Lord. Now, here's the big challenge. we can say the love of God, that when we're really pressured, our emotions are under very dense pressure. Psalmist said, like, my soul is closed up. He used the same same word as an envelope is closed, that bring my soul out of prison. In another psalm, said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise you. Because when pressures come and we see no way forward, our mind can say, yeah, I know God loves me, but I don't feel it. The pressures say, yeah, it's just an idea. You can't really reach it. It's there. Maybe it's there, but our soul begins to speak from the dust. But when he says nothing can separate us from the love of God, he's not saying that nothing can separate us from the knowledge of the love of God. That's one thing. But we really have the love of God. Nothing can stop God loving us. A natural mind interprets, if evil things happen, I should say difficult things, hard things happen, then how can a loving God do this? That's from the enemy or from our own carnal thinking. How can, if God is love, how can I be in this trial? But when God will show his love through it all, through everything, we will really see the greatness of his love. That nothing is without a reason. Nothing is without a reason. I need to say one more thing here, which the wise people, so much wiser than I am, who went through so much. Let me say one more thing about Wurmbrand. Wurmbrand, who studied this in the pits of the prisons and in his mind, he observed keenly how different people are. And he said that some people, God's plan for them is not to go through very great sufferings because they could not handle them. For them, something else is the great suffering than being in prisons or being beaten. Relationships, tender things, losses, other things are to them the greatest. And then he said, actually now it's someone else who said it, but God has like created, wired everyone so precisely that he only knows what is hard for one person is not always as hard for another person. He has measured everything. Sometimes we should really speak more about the measurements of God. We have not talked about it. How he measures. He measures also judgments. When evil is in the world, he let it go to a certain point. Like fourth generation, the sin of the Amalekites is full. He measures judgments. He has his own timing for everything. But then, for trials, he also measures. He measures when we are at our peak, at our best moment, when he measures our lifespan, he measures everything. Yeah, he measures everything. And so, we need to trust God and in his measure when hard things come, that he knows, and by faith say, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in the Messiah Yeshua. Maybe we need to really ask God, make this very real to me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Many people are going through hard times right now, and we need to know how we speak to people that are going through hard times. like the proverb says, it's not good to sing songs to a heavy heart. Meaning, we don't say too lightly these things. Because if we say, well, God loves you, you're in that situation, but God loves you. If we don't show somehow that we're sitting with them through the situation, in the situation, it sounds almost like sarcastic to them. They're not able to always receive. But here's the thing, we can ask God, help me to really trust your love when I don't have an evidence. Well, actually, the evidence is on the cross. What the Messiah went through, what he went through, that's where is the greatest evidence of the love of God. The world is full of evidence, but we can get confused. This happens, that happens. Always going back to who he is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the king in Matthew, the servant who lays down his life in Mark, the perfect man who lifts up the weak in Luke, and in John, the ascending eagle, that risen life that takes us above circumstances and situations. And then I'll take one example about this by faith, rising by faith into this. Have you heard about Joni Erickson? Joni Erickson is a lady who's now, she went to the same high school at the same time with my wife. And, but they didn't know each other, but it was the same high school at the same time frame. And I saw her here in next street over here in the old city. I was still selling books, and somebody was pushing Joni Erickson with this cart, what do you call this? I got a wheelchair. Thank you. Wheelchair. And I just put down the postcard, so that was in the middle of selling. I told people, just have to excuse me for 1 minute. I'll be right back. I left all the selling cards there, and I ran after her, and I went, right when she was entering into the alley, I stopped her and touched her shoulder that she saw, and I'm there. And I talked to her and thanked her for coming to Israel and to welcome her and to say a couple of nice words. I felt like she was like royal. All royal. She was really like royalty. She had such a presence of Yeshua sitting in a wheelchair. Amazing, 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 amazing. I don't ask questions, why isn't she healed? God knows what his plan is for her. She's shining Yeshua. Okay, and what she told her experience when, you know, when she gets up, everything is the same morning again, going through the same. She can hardly move her hands, and it's difficult to dress, and difficult to do those motions, and pains involved, and everything. It's livable, but it's very cumbersome. And just when depression tried to come and take over, it tried to take over, and she had one more time to make that decision. Am I going to believe who God is? Am I going to believe what my feelings are telling me right now? She took these promises and began to read them out loud and out loud and kept reading them again and again. Maybe one of the words was this, nothing can separate me from the love of God. After she had done reading them aloud as a prayer to God, she said all the heaviness was lifted. Yeah. It was lifted. It was gone. So God's love is always there, even when we feel like we are at the bottom. that we can even pray through, like she did with the scriptures. It's still there. It's still there. And in our mind, we can believe that. Just wanted to use her example that it is true. And I don't know what you're experiencing who might be watching this. I have some friends that I cannot say more details, but they lost a child, not a young child, but they lost a child in a very drastic way. Believers, beautiful believers, pray all the time. Yeah, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And then it is like this. You remember the Bible talks about Kohav HaShachar. The Kohav HaShachar is, in English, morning star. The morning star is the brightest right before the dawn of the day. So if anyone is experiencing like the dark night of the soul, I'm waiting for the answers, I'm not getting them, the morning star appears when the night is the darkest. And then it can't go any other way. The light will be there. He is faithful. The night may be a little bit darker than, longer than we think, and a lot darker than we think. But there is an end. There is an end. Like the book of Job says, there is an end to the trial. There's an end. And God has measured everything. So if you're going through a trial, if you don't know, somebody may be watching this who does not know the Messiah, does not know. Take again that verse I read. John 5, Yohanan, John 5, 24. Read it again and pray with that verse and you will know. You can also hear His good voice and you can be transferred from death to life. Okay, thank you for listening. Blessings to you. We are but small servants serving a wonderful redeeming God, life-giving God, loving God. Amen.